we expound Matthew 24. In a minute, we'll read it after we pray. The gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Christ Jesus, who died on the cross that we might be saved. You didn't need us, we needed you. And we thank you indeed. We've found that there is a God and there's only one, and his name is you. And we found out that the word that you delivered unto us through your prophets is absolutely accurate. And the hammers of millions have beaten upon this anvil, and the hammers are gone, and the anvil stands. And we thank you that we can preach the gospel of how a man is lost in sin, and how he needs to be saved, and how he needs to be brought out of that, and how he needs his entire life changed. And give us the power as we preach that, as ever. Remove me from this place, if you would, that you be heard. That anything that I say that should be forgotten, please make it be. And all that should be remembered, please have it be. That above all, you be glorified, and the church be edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. We're thankful to all those who are in the military service, who have served our country in whatever capacity. And we celebrate Independence Day because people like you were unselfish and gave your life, put it on the line if you were called to do so. And we thank you for that today, those of you who are here. Chapter 24 in the book of Matthew is called the Olivet Discourse. The disciples had come to Jesus and they asked him, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age?" Your Bible may say world. The word there means the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against a nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth this, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. And those days shall be shortened. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. A lot to comprehend this morning, and we can't do it in the time allotted, and it will take several months to go through it all, but this is a very important time of your life that we need to discern and to rightly divide the word of truth, that you can know where we stand as a people and where the church stands at a church, for there's a lot of misgivings about these kind of end time teachings. It reminds me of the little country preacher. He's a good godly black preacher, bless his heart, and nobody can preach like a good country black man that's known the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was about 97, and Mother Johnson was 94. And end of the service, Mother Johnson came up and says, "Rev," he said, "Uh-huh." I said, "I hear a lot of preaching about the last days on the television and read it in the newspaper and hear people talking about the last days. Do you believe we're in the last days?" And he said, "I don't know about the rest of them, but me and you are." And so I do know about the rest of them, and me and you are. For here we find that the Lord is answering the disciples' questions. And when they're giving these things I'm going to talk about, please understand this discourse is largely to the Jew. It's talking about the tribulation period, which is a 7-year period that will occur after the Lord comes for the church. We call that the rapture of the church, and we get people who oppose us and these teachings, and they'll say, "Well, the word rapture's not in the Bible." Well, the word Bible's not in the Bible, but I think you better continue to study it. Rapture, of course, isn't in the Bible. It's a Latin word, and when it was turned to the Greek, which the New Testament was written in, it was written the word harpazo, which means to be snatched out, to move from one place to another. It's not hard to discern for those who can read. And Jesus told them, said, "Look, take heed that no man deceive you, because after this time, the tribulation period, during that time, will be a great, great turning of people to Christ." Understand, the tribulation time is not for Christians. We have theologians who teach that it is. They're wrong. I'm right. I'll prove it. They will be deceived because a man called the Antichrist is coming. The false one world church will be set up, which we see setting up now. A lot of people get confused in today's time because they want the Lord to come so badly, and they want to see the church taken out, and they want to see tribulation pass and the millennium and God's kingdom get here, that they push it ahead of time. And you'll see a lot of teachers who don't mean to be false teachers. They're what I call untimely teachers. And they're trying to bring forth signs and wonders that they can't perform, and have fooled themselves into thinking they can, and the people who supposedly receive them who think they can, and 10 days later found out that nothing happened. And they don't mean to be ill-minded. They're just getting ahead of themselves. It's very easy for preachers to get ahead of God. And people who will stand up and tell you the kingdom of God is here now. I'm sorry, you're getting ahead of yourself. Take a cell phone and call Jerusalem. And if the king of David, if the throne of David has been reconstructed and the temple has been rebuilt where that mosque of Amar is, if that's up, let me know, because I missed the rapture and I'm in missed the tribulation. I'm in millennium and didn't even know it. These things come from people who get ahead of themselves, well-meaning people, and not degrading them. Many are born again, blood-washed sons of the living God. They've made a mistake. It's like you did on some of your tests in college. You knew the answer, but you couldn't think of it during test time. 10 minutes later, you could do it. You flunked anyway. But people will come during the tribulation, people, when the Jews are wondering. See, this book is largely about Jews. We think it's largely about American Christians, and it isn't. We have been spliced in to the roots. They faltered when their Messiah came, unfortunately. They stumbled and didn't know who he was, and so he said, "I'll go to the Gentiles," and so he started the church. And we'll receive some of the blessings that are due the children of Abraham, because being grafted in, we are children of Abraham too. But this is largely for the Jewish people. And say, "Well, why are you telling me about it? If what you say is right, I'll be gone." That's right, but it's good to know what you're going to miss. And like we said last Sunday, what we're trying to show you is these signs that are going to come. In preparation for these signs, we can see now. And if we can see it all laid out, we know it's going to happen soon. We know real soon now, it's still summer. It's I never have figured it out. 4th of July, it's not the middle of summer. It's June just ended. But they'll start pushing back to school clothes real soon, within a week or two at Walmart and these other places. You'll start seeing it. Well, of course, it's an economic thing. They're doing that so people can prepare their money where it doesn't hit them all at once. I understand that. But they're getting ahead of themselves. See, they want it so bad, they'll start now. So when the Jews are in the tribulation period, because they don't go up with us in the rapture, just born again sons of the living God make that trip. Dead in Christ shall rise. Those who are left will be caught up to meet him in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13-16. You read that when you get home. So we know that this time is coming, and we say, well, when is it coming? Well, we're in preparation for it now, as you will see. It says, during that time, I am Christ and shall receive, can deceive many. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You see, false messiahs will arise. People have been looking for the Messiah since he left. The Jews were looking for him 2,000 years before he came. When he came, they missed him. We picked it up. We've been looking for him 2,000 more years. He did come, but we're looking for him to come again. We're looking for the same thing. And when he comes to rapture the church, the Jews don't know it. They're looking for him too. Same Messiah. But if they don't get turned around during the tribulation period, they're not going anywhere with the Messiah. In 1948, Jerusalem became a state. It became a nation in one day, as we talked about last week. The Bible predicted a nation will be born in a day. The world had never seen that happen. I think it was May 14th, 1948. It happened in one day. They went from nothing to a nation. And a lot of preachers began saying, well, this is a sign of the end. It is a sign fulfilling the coming of the end. The regathering of the Jews in 1948, and it's been going on ever since, is a wonderful thing. Now 6 million Jews are back in Jerusalem. 6 million. But all are going back. And today you're not going to find all the Jews in New York and London and around the world who are doing well business-wise, finest business people in the world. They're not going to lay down everything they got and go back to Jerusalem. I'm sorry, it's not going to do that. But you're in tribulation period, they will. God's going to gather them up, and this is just a preview of things to come, what we're seeing now, because the Jews who are there, 80% of them don't even believe in God. They are back in their land, but they're back in unbelief. Zechariah will tell you they're coming back again because they're going to be dispersed again, but not worldwide. They're going to be taken out of the wrath to come where they won't be heard if they love the Lord, and they'll be hidden. And then they are going to see Jerusalem overrun again. We don't know when. But then the whole Jewish nation shall be brought back to Israel from everywhere. Why? Because they will have seen that indeed they crucified their Savior. They will find out indeed they crucified the Lord of glory. Now when they recognize that, a revival is going to take place, that more people will be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ in those 7 years than have been in the 2,000 years since they left out of here. An innumerable number will turn to Christ. 144,000 Jewish evangelists will be anointed by God and protected by him and given a special mark that the Antichrist can't kill them. They're bulletproof. And they will preach the gospel up down the world, as will one angel. You see, the Lord never used an angel to preach. Did you know that? That's how much he trusted you and me. I can hear the angels now saying, look, we're bigger than them, we're stronger than them, we can fly, we don't need all the things they need. Let us go tell the world about you. Can't you hear the Lord saying, no, I know you could do it, but my children will do it because I've asked them to. And boy, I hate to face him face to face as a born again son of the living God and have to give an account not for what I did, but for what I didn't do. So many will deceive the Jews in that time because they know that they'll be looking for the Messiah, the tribulation's on. And they will come and say, I'm him and I'm the good teacher, I'm a guru. We see a preface to that today, don't we? Every 6 months, a new religion jumps up in Hollywood and all those glorious saints out there run to him and The current one is Scientology. Put your hand on the little handles, and when it shocks you, you'll know it's of God. No, it's of electricity, not of God. The little fat boy, they called him the Lord from heaven in a 747, came from India, got on top of a mountain, and all the movie stars trudged up there to be and throw flowers at him and actually to show worship to him. We had a picture of him. A friend of mine did. He's got good sense of humor, Dave Smith. And Dave said, a friend of his showed him the picture, had it on the wall. And Dave said, "What you got, Ted?" He said, "Oh, that's a picture of the Lord." He said, "The Lord?" Said, "Yeah, he's God. He did." David looks at it and said, "I don't believe so." Said, "Why?" He said, "God don't need no Rolex. He who invented time needs not an instrument to keep up with it." But these deceivers come, and they come today, and they're all over the place. You see, they threw the Bible and Christianity out of school and brought yoga in. Oh, well, that's an exercise. Don't kid yourself. It's a Hindu religion that's anti-Christian. And they'll get you in that thing and blank your mind and fill it with demons from hell. Those of us who know, know. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. During the tribulation, they'll hear of them. Why? Because it'll be worldwide violence, you see, at that time when the church is gone. The Holy Spirit of God does not leave the earth. Some preachers think he does. No. He is removed from his service in the church because the church is gone. But he is here. So how do you know so much? Because he's God, and God is omnipresent. You can't get rid of him. He will just be working in a capacity as he was in the Old Testament, coming upon people as he will. Not as a body, the church. You see, the church and the power of the Holy Spirit of the church is the only thing that holds the violence of the world in check now. And you see the condition it's in. I mean, we're a world at war. There's always an average of 43 wars going on in the world. You only hear about the ones you're interested in. The people who are ones you don't hear about but got killed in their village war, it was the most important world war they were ever in. They're not interested in your nuclear weapons. They worried about the guy just threw a spear through them. And this will come again. They'll say, "Look, China's coming." And they will be. And they'll say, "Russia's coming." And they will be. And they'll say, "The Arabs have joined up with the Russians and the Egyptians and the Jordans and the Syrians." And it's in the Bible. We should have read it. They called it Put and Tagama, and they called it Libya, and they called it Ethiopia. Why didn't we read this? We're in it now. Who's going to attack us next? It's going to be worldwide violence. And the preface to that is the world you see today. When you go home and watch your television, I've told you always, see how many times Israel's on it. Why is this tiny nation, half the size of South Carolina, such a worldwide draw to people? How can it be that important? One more little slice of land in the desert. Who cares? God cares. He gave that land to the Jews. And because he's going to protect it for them, therein you are going to see the Third World War come about. As a matter of fact, it already is underway. They just don't want to name it that because it will frighten people. If you think the Jews will back down, evidently you didn't watch the news last night. Son, they went back to Gaza and hit the prime minister's office and put a missile in the window of his office. They didn't have to send a letter or a note with it. It simply said, "We know who you are, where you are, and at our leisure can blow you to kingdom come. Give me the soldier back." They'll get the message, or they'll start a war. We're on the edge of the conflagration between Russia, the Arabs, the Jews, the Egyptians, Jordan, Syria, Libya, Ethiopia, which is the top of Africa. We are sitting on a time bomb. And the scientists who are secular and not getting their information from Scripture have moved the doomsday clock. They set at 10 or 12 minutes to doomsday a few years back. It now rests at 2 minutes to doomsday. 2 minutes. from what they see taking place in the world. 2 minutes. That's secular government. 5 years ago, an admiral in the Navy said, in 10 years, we will have a nuclear confrontation. We got five to go, according to his reasoning, and he don't know. He's just going by what he's got before him. India has nuclear weapons. They hate Pakistan. Pakistan hates India. They want to drop nuclear weapons on each other and start a war. And do you know what it's over? It's over who owns the Khyber Pass. The Khyber Pass is a winding road in the middle of nowhere, coming from nowhere, going nowhere, where nobody lives, no business exists, and no civilization could thrive. And they're going to start World War III over this and KLS. China's getting ready to back North Korea, which they always do. North Korea getting ready to send up an ICBM missile just to show us they can hit us at will. We'll shoot it down to show them that we can hit it at will. But all we've shown each other is we both can reach each other on any night with any number of weapons. And Holocaust is before us every night as we sleep. That's all it shows. We have that now. And when he warns them, you'll hear rumors of war. I wonder what kind of rumors those are going to be. He said, the nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, I understand kingdom against kingdom, and you do too, but when you read that in English and just casually go over it, it sounds like he's just repeating himself, doesn't it? What's the difference between a nation and a kingdom? Not much difference than that, is it? Well, that word for nation, there's ethnos. It has nothing to do with land. It's an ethnic group. Ethnic group against ethnic group. That's what all that's over in those Istan nations, Yakistan, Bahazistan, Razistan, Baba, all them Stan nations. They want to wipe each other out. You have no right to live. Why? Because you aren't in Yakistan. Well, everybody can't be a Yakistanian. We're something else. And this goes back to tribal wars thousands of years ago, yet they're going to wipe each other out about it. Doing it in Somalia right now. Muslims murdering those people, cutting them to bits. We just got a note from our friend Bin Laden who said, don't dare go over there and stop that. So we got a problem, hadn't we? Ethically, we stand up for people who murder people. We don't want it done. And as a God-fearing country, we try to stop things like that. And as the way they spread their gospel by the sword, they want to continue to do that. So we got a problem, hadn't we? Now, if we have this problem now where nation's against nation, there was an old song. I forgot who sang that thing years ago in the 60s, 50s, around in there. One of the groups, the folk singers. It might have been the Lamplighters. I don't know. It doesn't matter. They were singing, you know, the Irish hate the English and the English hate the do-do-do and the do-do-do-do. And they finally named them all. Everybody hates everybody. And isn't that true? Isn't that where we hang on to that today? Well, we can't hate that. I mean, you know, as people, my uncle in Canada, in the Canadian Royal Air Force, and he went to war against the Germans, and they bombed his barracks out there in the field. He was in his barracks. He thought it was raining. That was shrapnel. Stuck his head out the window, and one landed and blew his ear deaf. He's hated the Germans ever since. I mean, you know, we got over it. We rebuilt the city, sent them all our hard-earned money, made them more powerful than we are. We're smart. But he wouldn't, hey, you drive up to his yard in the Mercedes, he'd tell you take it out of his yard. He didn't want nothing the Germans made. We used to do that with the Japanese when the Japanese war was so badly, you know, and both sides breed hatred for the other side. They want you to hate the people because it's hard to get soldiers to shoot people if they think of them as people. It's very difficult to do. Anybody in the service here who has been in a training position knows you have to change some things because people can't relate to it. They just don't want to take anybody's life, yet they're in a war situation. And I forget the percentages. It's way up there of the number of soldiers who used to go to battle who never fired a weapon at anybody. They just couldn't take the life of a human being. It just wasn't in them. So you call the Japanese people Japs. You have to give them, I remember when they had little pin cushions of Tojo. The head Japanese, the emperor, called him Tojo. and they had him bending over, and little grannies were sticking pins in his butt. You know, that was their way of adding to the thing. And you had to hate, we called the Korean people. I've met some good Korean Christian people, born again sons of the living God. Doesn't cover the whole nation, but we called them gooks, right? Because you didn't want to shoot a fellow human being, but it's okay to shoot gook. And we do that among races in America. We have cute little names for one another that just breed hatred. And if that's happening now, and all the kingdoms of the world are against themselves now, what's he talking about tribulation going to be like? This seven-year period. Total hatred. Can't trust anybody. Famine's going to come. So, we don't know much about that. We used to not know much about that. You remember when the United States had warehouses full of wheat and corn and butter and the staples, and we could feed our people if an emergency came, if we had a bad crop year and wheat didn't come in out in Kansas and corn and all that we were okay because we had these vast storehouses around the nation. Do you, any of you old enough to remember that? Sure you are. You know how much we have in store now? One crop failure will put this nation in a famine. One. That close. Crops depend on the weather. Drought, too much dry. Rain, too much rain. Been like that forever, hadn't it? When they came to these shores, the topsoil in the United States of America was 3 feet deep. You could leave your broom out over now, it would sprout. I mean, you know, topsoil that deep. Now, it's less than half an inch. So they have to supplement that with chemicals. And you wonder why cancer is everywhere and so prevalent. I'll be glad to tell you, and I've yet to finish medical school. It's because of all the preservatives and chemicals they put in our food to preserve it so we can eat it from the buy-low and think the green beans that have been there 6 months are fresh. That's what causes all this. We did ourselves in. Now, when you have disrupted all that growth and disrupted all that chemical procedure and disrupted the farms, famines are going to be everywhere. As a matter of fact, 20,000 children will starve to death tonight in the world. 20,000. No call for that, but it will happen. Nations now are preparing to go to war for food. I promise you, hungry people fight. The Mormons, bless their heart, they'll be a Mormon. Part of the deal is you have to put 2 years of food in your basement. And they have food, you know, that you can add water to and all that. And it's a smart idea to keep the gun. The problem with that is when they go through the tribulation, everybody's going to know it. They're going to be the first ones wiped out. That's where they're going to go. You see, be no end to it. Rather than go through the tribulation, if I was lost, I'd accept Christ in the first 2 minutes and the third minute try to get underneath the biggest bomb they're going to drop and get on out of here. When you read about that thing and what's going to happen during that seven-year period and really make a study of that thing, it will put goosebumps on you and you're not even going through it. It puts fear in your heart and tears in your eyes because I have friends that if we jerked out of here today by the rapture of the church, they are going through it. You have loved ones, mothers, daughters, husbands, unsaved. Keep telling you how, yeah, I appreciate it and I've heard that all my life. And one of these days, I'm going to get it straight. I finally got one so tired of saying I'm going to come to church when I get all straightened out. I ended it. I just said, yeah, that's when I'll be looking for you, when you all straightened out. Because that's when you come into church. And I get called on about once every 2 months to hold a service for somebody I know did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a difficult thing for me to stand here with a crowd of their relatives and friends and try to encourage them when I know full well where their son or daughter is. And to know friends of mine and relatives of mine and people I know and people who come to church are going to have to go through this because they still are hard-hearted and stiff-necked, as God talks about the Jews here, and will hear the gospel over and over and over. And the Bible itself tells you the more you hear it and reject it, the harder and more stiff-necked you become, to the point that you don't believe any of it. There'll be pestilences. Pestilences are coming from everywhere. We now have diseases that are incurable. We have a vaccine in Washington, D.C., in several huge warehouses, in air conditioning and heated conditionings, guarded closely, that cost millions of dollars to produce, for which there is no disease. And we're paying for that. $700 million they're getting ready to spend to try to explore Mars. Now, when you get there, and you're not going to, but when you do, what you going to do about those other 17 trillion universes that are out there, let alone stars? NASA does a good job in there. Scientifically literate, and I don't see how they get that big thing off the ground anyhow and get to the moon. But it ends up being a joke. I wish it had been green cheese when they got there and they just called the whole thing off. Talking to somebody the other day, I said, have you heard about the bird flu? You got a virus that's transferring from birds now to human beings. And if this thing gets loose, they've said, multiplied, millions of people on earth will die. It'll be worse than the Black Plague was. And I said, boy, what a listen. After all I've been through, I'm going to get killed by a chicken. I said, there's something wrong with that. I said, boy, what a cruel joke, man. But these things are on the way, and during the tribulation there's going to be more. Well, how you know so much? I have common sense. You start dropping nuclear bombs, the radiation goes around the earth. It ruins the water. It ruins the food. It causes diseases we don't even have names for, let alone recognize. These things are going to be everywhere. We got a preview to them now. We got some viruses they don't even have an answer to yet. They're not going to tell you that and put fear in the heart of you. With all our scientific knowledge, they can't do anything about it. A lot of our folks here have contracted cancer of one form or another, and they'll go to the doctor, been there, done that. And he looks at you with all his learning and says, we don't know. And you want to scream, then what am I doing here? And why are you billing me for thousands of dollars if you don't know? Send me to somebody who does know. He said, no, the we is all inclusive. Nobody knows. Go home and die. That's what they told this little girl 2 years ago that you prayed for, and the Lord said, not time. I have nobody else that can control Beaver. So she's sitting there this morning. She just outright told us, go home. We can do no more. So we go to the bigger hospital with the more prestige. Go home. We can do no more. So we go to the biggest one. Go home. We can do no more. And while we can do great things, please understand, pestilences are coming, especially during the tribulation, that are unanswerable. Earthquakes in diverse places, that means a shaking of the world. God's going to shake it. The tectonic plates that we have our earth on are slipping. If you've seen any of the History Channel and watch all those things, and they're slipping. And as they slip, one goes over the other. And here we go. It only has to move a little bit, and there's a great tsunami starts. This isn't a local wave that just happens to grow some. This is something that travels around the world. We can't do anything about it. Water comes in here 60 feet high and runs inland for a mile and then goes back out and drags everything with it. We have nothing that can come anywhere close to coping with that. We couldn't cope with a number 5 hurricane in New Orleans. We have 6 this year that are supposed to hit right there. If you've seen the map, they're predicting 6 out of the 18 or whatever it is that will come. Are they increasing? Yes, numerically. The scientific folks who do such things were on the other day, and they said we've entered some kind of strange period that the number of hurricanes that are going to come from now on to our shores are going to gradually get worse and worse for the next 30 years. Then what we're going to do? They don't read the Bible. I won't be here in 30 years, thank God. But this is going to come in diverse places all over the world, that means. All these are the beginning of sorrows. This is the warm-up. Yeah, this is the warm-up. Get into vile judgments and the bold judgments in Revelation 16 and 17, and you'll find out what the biggie is going to be. If I had no other hope, I'd be worshiping a life preserver or something, for heaven's sake, anything but the tribulation. Anything besides what is named the time of the wrath of God, the time of sorrow, a time of darkness, a time in which no man can stand. Anything that follows the names that period of time has been called in Scripture, I don't even want to know about. Some of the artists of old used to draw pictures of saints in heaven looking down on earth and hell and watching the sorrow and persecution those people go through. God won't allow that. Don't worry about that. Those of you who have loved ones say, well, I just couldn't enjoy heaven if my child or wife or husband or daddy wasn't there. This Bible says you'll forget all about earth. You won't even remember anything there. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. God's taken care of that. Understand, He took care of everything. And when He took care of everything, He made a way for everything to be appropriated. It's called the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you saw where the students in one of the universities out west making comical pictures of Jesus on the cross, blasphemous, heretical. They did nothing about it. You saw what happened when they had one cartoon of Muhammad, didn't you? Why isn't it that way when you blaspheme the Savior of the world? You say, we don't know who He is. Saved, no. The redeemed, no. The godly, no. But the average American has no idea who the Lord Jesus Christ is. The basic answer, He was a good guy, some kind of prophet, a religious type fellow. I believe they said He preached some, and a good teacher. That's their picture of the Lord God Almighty, who manifested Himself in flesh and died for your and my sins. Don't even have the picture right. I have more people say, I love to come down there to that little church that y'all have. Y'all have the best people in the world. And I say, I know that. I know that. They say, I'm so tired of going to my church, and they'll name it, and not hearing anything that has any substance to it, that did not come from Scripture. And people who come in that door are no better off when they came in, when they left, as when they came in. And I said, well, keep coming back. You're liable to hear something. By the way, we won't be getting politically correct. And if this, what we read, is at the door, and Jesus says here, when you see these things, know it's at the doorstep. No, he's getting ready to open the door. It's upon us. And we see the preparation for these things. And we see and read about nations who will be fighting nations, who will be doing it right before Jesus comes for the second coming and does set up his kingdom. Son, when we see that in the near future, we see it now, how close are we leaving out of here? Well, I don't see it that way, and it may be years. You better tell your heart, because there ain't no warning for a heart attack. You can die today. The driver of the truck hits you on the way home, don't know you got 3 years to come. He'll kill you anyway. I had one of the a friend of mine, Ronnie Treadway. You old jitterbugs will know who Ronnie was. Ronnie was bad news. He's Maurice's brother. And always drinking and fighting and over here at the pad and all that. Just bad reputation. And I mentioned Ronnie Treadroom's name now. People say, ooh. I said, no, ah, glory. And they say, why? I said, Ronnie stopped me one day at a fair they were having over here. He said, Beaver, come here a minute. And I said, what you need, babe? He said, are we promised tomorrow? I said, you're not promised the rest of the afternoon. You can die and Jesus can come. You're not promised 10 more minutes. You either got in or out now. Are you in? He said, I'm in. 30 days later, he was dead. Boy, that's close, isn't it? That's close, isn't it? The times I've gone to a bedside, and those of you who preach, those of you who witness have done it, and within days, that person's gone. Son, they have stepped into eternity. Understand that. Those people who think you die like a dog and that's the end of things just don't know anything about God, spiritual truth, the scripture, or what is to come. And if they really believe that, they wouldn't have a $20,000 funeral. They'd say, put me in a baggie and make it the county's problem. Stick me out with the garbage, if they really believe that. But they don't. I have noticed that my jitterbug friends, when they have cancer and when they have these terrible diseases and when they have heart attack and they go to Grand Strand, and I've noticed they call for Fat Beaver and not Fat Harold. I wonder why that is. Wonder why that is. You see, down deep inside they know, don't they? Down deep inside they know. Nothing can help you on that deathbed. Many a king has said, half my kingdom for one more day. Half my kingdom. Give you everything I've got for one more week. What would that? I mean, what a silly thing to do. Give up everything you got one more week. To do what? Lay there and be sick for a week? You headed out of here, Jack. You better find out where you're going, how to get there, what you're going to do when it happens. That's what you better find out. People accuse me and say, well, you're just a hellfire and brimstone preacher, aren't you? I said, yeah, I follow in the footsteps of somebody who, of the 21 times hell is mentioned in the New Testament, he bothered to mention it 21. Well, who was that? I said, guy named Jesus, pretty good preacher. You see, that's why he came. Pity Pat, rub your earlobe religion won't get you anywhere. Well, I'm not going down there. I love Kobe. Where Kobe? Ed Kobe. Kobe come down here and got saved. Didn't even want to come. See? Stood out there by that truck for about 3 Sundays. Tracy brought him. Said, I got saved, you getting saved. Brought him. Made him come. Put him out there. Kobe said, I'm not going in there and let that man yell at me. Well, Kobe, it's 400 people. How'd you know I was yelling at you? But aren't you glad I did? And aren't I? Aren't I? Good to make a friend at camp, right? Go to camp and you make a friend at camp. write a letter, whatever. You got to, and that friendship lasts about a week. And then you make a friend at high school, and they're good, and ray-rah, and hoorah, and all that for the high school, and that's all good and all. And then they scatter, and the reunions get thinner and thinner. You don't remember anybody there hardly more. But college, hey, boy, my friends, we're in a fraternity. We have pledged to help each other for life till he's broke and comes for money. Then the fraternity doesn't hold up. I like it when you make friends for eternity. Somebody I'm going to get to laugh with and run with forever. Somebody would not only knows my name now, but will know my new name that Jesus is going to give me. And nobody knows. He's going to have it written for me. Well, my luck, it'll be Otter. But I'll have one. And a lot of people are going to know it. Because we made eternal friendships. Isn't that good? Isn't it good, the best friend I ever had, I didn't know I had him? Isn't it good, the best friend I ever had died when I was the one condemned? What a friend. And the Bible says no greater friend has any man than one who lays down his... No greater love has any man than one who will lay down his life for his friend. That was Jesus laid down his life for me. What a friend. I'll loan you a little money. I'll help you get out of debt and feed you when you're hungry. And I'll do all kind of things for you as a friend. But count going to the cross out. I ain't going. And you're not going for me. But there's one who did. One who said, I don't care who you are and where you are. I don't care what you've done or how you got there. Today, if you'll call on my name, I'll change everything. I'll wipe out your past. It exists no more. It's gone. You're a new creature in Christ. And you get to live with me forevermore. All you got to do is accept me and trust me and following my ways. Would you do that, son? I said, amen. Count me in. Count me in. And we got people here today who wouldn't be counted in if the Lord came. Well, I'm a good person. Far as people go, you're wonderful. Far as saints go, you're trash. Well, I try to be a good church person and all. Your righteousness is like a bunch of filthy rags in the eyes of God, he says in that book. Not many children here, they won't know what I'm talking about anyhow. Filthy rags there means menstrual cloths. Your goodness and your righteousness is a pile of used menstrual cloths that you're going to offer to God as your righteousness. What kind of fool are you? You have no holiness. You have no righteousness. You have no goodness unless you're a child of the living God. As a child of the living God, I still don't have any on my own, but I got an account I can draw on. Kind of like them plastic cards you carry, you know. I don't have any money. Will you take this? Yeah, grapefruit and orange. We'll take that. Don't you know people who don't know about that think we're crazy? I have an account I can call on. It'll be paid for. It's already been paid for. And the devil says, well, what about his sins? And the Lord says he doesn't have any. Well, I remember when, he said, you don't remember anything. He's covered in the blood. You can't see that because you go in hell. I'm not going to get to the mark of the beast. I got mark of Christ on me. Blood washed. Born again. Son of the living God. if that doesn't describe you, you in a world of trouble. And it's coming soon. And I don't tell you that because I hate you. I tell you that because I love you. And I don't want you to have to go through that. Because once it starts, it's too late. For you. But where you stand today, look at yourself. Book says, examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. There's been a time in your life where you said, I've heard preaching and all that, and I don't know, I just hadn't done much about it. Today, I want to repent of my sins. I want to tell God I'm sorry. I want him to save me, and I don't understand these terms and words, but whatever he does, I want it. I want my sins paid for, and I want to be a child of the King. And I don't know the proper words to say other than when I'm drowning, I don't need to go through my needs. I'm just going to yell at the lifeguard, save me! And God will understand that as a full-page essay on your needs. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. You pray that prayer where you sit this morning, I promise the God of heaven will hear it. And he will account to your account the blood shed by his Son on Calvary's cross, which is the only righteousness and the only hope that you and I have. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can take a book and see the prophecy in it and how the prophets of old wrote what they even didn't even know what they were writing about. But by your Spirit, they put down the words, and today we read them, and now we see it in technicolor in our living room coming to pass. And we thank you for being so kind as to give us a warning. Had it been me, I would have written the world off a long time ago. Had the world treated me the way that they treated you, I would have just written it off and started over a long time ago. But that's why you're God and I'm not. For I have not the capacity to forgive that much and to love that much and to die for somebody who hated me. Surely in the crowd this large this morning, there's someone here who doesn't know you as Savior. Maybe they're a member of a church. Maybe they've been through certain rituals. Maybe they have been a teacher, even a preacher. And yet can't honestly say, yes, I know if the Lord came today, he'd be coming for me. Lord, be with them. As you pass by this congregation this morning, tug on that heart one more time. And let them say, if nobody was there today who understood they were lost, I was there and I know I am. If anybody needs a Savior, I know I do. And Lord Jesus, please save me. And I promise you on the strength of the Word of God and the power of the blood shed on Calvary's cross, you'll be saved. Thank you for those in uniform, Lord, those who have been in the past, who died to give us our freedom. Let us not take it for granted. And let us not take your death for granted. For therein is our everlasting hope. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.